Episode 242, Christmas Carol in July. Who's in your fantasy past? Who's your fantasy present? And who do you want in your minors for your dynasty future? It's time for Dingers.
This is Dingers, way more than fantasy baseball. We keep it real when we talk and knock it straight out the park. Let's see the stats. What's the average draft position? What kind of plays you making? Check the wins above replacement. Check the lineups and the points. This I gotta see. What's your path to victory? Are they aiming for a dynasty? Get points going head to head. Please don't do me no favors. We're always watching waivers. Ain't no minor league. This is major. Yeah, Dingers. Let's go.
Welcome to Dingers, the only fantasy baseball podcast for smart people. It's not just Mike Trout that wins you championships. That's why week in and week out, we're delivering tips and strategies to help you live that straight up OG lifestyle. Tyler Childs joined, as always, by Robbie Baseball from the Murder Room. What's happening, Robbie?
Oh, nothing. We've already caught up and no one will care. They're just going to wonder where the hell we've been.
Every now and then we're allowed to take a break. We've done hundreds of episodes, literally. So guess what? We took a breather in the window of time where no one cares about long-term outlook. So that's why
picked summer. I honestly, like, somebody asked me the other day, like, you still do your podcast, right? And it was someone at work. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, I haven't seen it come up in my feed in a while. I'm like, you listen? They're like, no, I just never unsubscribed. But I haven't seen that brain in a while. I'm like, Well, thank you, I guess. But I said, yeah, like, this is the least important time for us to be on the horn telling you, you know, long-term things when we're in season now. Like, you are probably in one of three categories with your teams, winning, losing, or unsure. If you're doing something else, that's interesting. Hit me up at RobbieBaseball1. Tell me what it is on the Twitter. We're getting close, but not yet at trade deadlines. We're watching to see what's going on in MLB with trends. We're seeing a ton of players getting called up, and we're seeing a lot of guys who we were excited about early in the year getting sent back down or hurt, or like guys that didn't start the year well have leveled off or been sent down. And like, don't get me started on Will Benson. Oh, baby. That is my new Nick Madrigal right there, because Nick Madrigal is not.
Yeah, well, you know what's really interesting about Will Benson that I didn't know? And they were talking about it. There was a game a few weeks back where he hit the walk-off home run. Yeah. And I was watching that game, and they were talking about how he almost quit. Like, he was ready to be done, like, way, way, way back in, like, the Cleveland organization. He was just ready to hang it up and walk away. So good for him and whoever's around him for getting to stick with it. So obviously played out and probably will pay out. So good for him.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was that I had. I feel like I mentioned on a previous podcast where I was listening to a player interview, and I'm trying to remember who the heck it was now. They were talking about how they almost walked away, and it was just too hard. Like, they got called up, sent down, and the same kind of thing had happened to their dad. Now, who the heck was that player? It was an MLB-er, I feel like, with Kansas. I don't know if maybe it was Whit. Kansas. Maybe it was Whit. Yeah, Kansas City. Sorry. Maybe it was Whit Merrifield, who almost walked away, and his dad had come up and, like, had a brief cup. Anyway, somebody within KC, and they didn't. And thank goodness, because they've had a fruitful career. I can't remember the player again. It could have been Whit. But yeah, just interesting stuff, right? A lot of things go on behind the scenes, and sometimes it's the change of scenery where they talk about that as, like, a simple thing, right? Oh, they just needed a change of scenery. No. Maybe they needed better people around them. Like, they needed, I think it's not necessarily coaches, like, for baseball. They need, like, people in there who are like, hey, we love what you do.
And it's like that part of Ted Lasso, for anyone that listened, where it's like, listen, like, they're people too, right? I mean, it's easy for anyone to shout from their Twitter machine, like, although as long as it's under your 600 views. I know that was a big, big buzz for everybody this week, but
600 views?
Yeah, like, they put a limit on it. Everyone lost their mind, like, the world is ending. And it's like, first off, they said it's going to be temporary, so calm down. Second off, like, if you're going through more than 600, like, things, like, do something else for a little bit. And I know there's professionals that do, like, content for a living, but, like, yeah, I'm pretty confident you can survive with or without it. So just relax a bit. But anyway, the other thing too, Robbie, for us and on our break, is, like, listen, the guys that are coming up, the guys that are hot button topics, like, we've been talking about these guys for years. So that's the other part that gives us that little breather where everyone else is like, you need to get this guy right now. like, we've already told you about these guys and when they should arrive and when you should buy them. And, you know, if we're telling you now, it's already too late. You're already paying way over market value. That's not how you win in our format. So really good stuff. Lots to talk about so far. But before we do, Robbie, let's get hydrated.
A long time ago, someone decided to put stuff in glass bottles. In some of these bottles, they put juice or milk, and that was stupid. Today, only alcohol and a few other products remain in the containers from the gods. It's time for beers and bourbon, because good advice only comes in a bottle.
Oh, that was good. Holy shit, that was good.
We're back.
I wasn't sure before when we first started recording, but after I heard that, that just woke me up.
Fresh bottle alert, side note.
Yeah, that sounded good. So Ty, as I told you before, I was at a culinary conference for Canadian colleges and universities last week at Queen's University, and I was competing in an event, but more importantly, I was at a place with these things called hospitality suites, which I had never encountered before. So it's just free booze. So the first two nights when I was like getting ready for this competition and then participating in the competition, I was not drinking heavily. And then after the competition, I let her rip, and you know, my bar bill was $0. And even the bartender was like, try this out. If you don't like it, just set it on the counter and come and grab another one. And it was amazing. But the one thing I didn't have, which is what I'm having tonight, a Mott's Clamato Caesar.
Nice.
I was looking at people drinking Caesars. I'm like, that looks good, man. That looks good. But I don't want that celery. But tonight, I'm
going to die. Out of the can's good when you're on the golf course, but you know,
definitely
a custom
you want
one.
The river. You want the
I
river.
Want a super dirty one with some spicy. Yeah. Like that's, and for the Americans listening, that's a Bloody Mary. Just to not confuse all of you. But ours is better. So
but yeah, clam juice does the really does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's much I guess better. Happy, it's less watery.
Yeah, happy Independence Day for those who are possibly watching us live right now.
And watch your fingers. Yeah, watch
your fingers. Keep this is fireworks time for everybody out there. Ty, the one thing that you mentioned to me before we started recording, since our last recording, we have had a major win for the Dingers family, former guests and people that we love and appreciate on this podcast. Huge congratulations to Mason McRae, who has been on this show multiple times, loves it, loves discussing the collegiate athletes, and was recently hired by none other than the Chicago Cubs. So the bank it, baby. He has not yet even graduated from university, and he is already employed by an MLB club. So congrats to you, Mason. Yeah, I'm super excited for him, and I can't wait to watch and analyze this Cubs draft coming up over the
and
next
for week. Those of you watching on YouTube, Rob is crying right now. Proud father.
I am. Absolutely. He's half Canadian. Maybe he's even whole Canadian. I can't remember. But anyway, that's a guy who's in the future of the Cubs. Tonight we're going to talk about the past, the present, and the future on the hitting side. So basically, this isn't your buy, sell, hold. This is your who's a guy that just isn't going to put up the production you want. And some of them have value. So, you know, sure, you could say, yeah, that's a guy I should trade. Some of them are just at the end of that period. We get into the present. These are guys that could either be at the start, the midpoint, or towards the end of that, like, legit top 5-7 guy at that production level. And then the future. Who do we think is potentially the future of this position? And obviously, that's our recommendation for you guys to go out there and start hitting some people up as you get into trade deadline timeframes. Right now, people are probably trying to shake up their rosters, or they've gone dark, which we've seen in several leagues. So, Ty, do you want to lead us off with the catchers here?
Yeah, let's talk catchers. And you know, we start with the past, putting these guys in the retirement home. And this was an oof, if you will, go from Twitter speak with me here, Robbie, on the signing in the free agent pool this year. And that's William Contreras. Like, this has been relevant for a couple years for me, Robbie. Like, I haven't touched him. A little bit of on-base upside. So if you're looking for some walks, out of the catcher position. Like, you're going to be able to get a little bit out of that. Moderate power strokes still, but not what it once was. And I mean, the overall production, 32 runs, 32 RBIs, only five stolen bases. I think he touched double digits one time and everyone thought he could run forever. But it, you know, the 222 batting average is just not where it needs to be. Now, if we got that to 250, I could live with this here, but I just don't see any reason to expect that he all of a sudden figures it out over the back half of his career. Like, he's been trending down, and this has been the norm for a few years. So as a not really strong defensive catcher, it's time for me to see him go away, because the playing time is going to be moved to the DH role, and he's just not good enough to be that.
Just to clarify, because it's very close, this is Will Yum. Sorry, Will Sun. I even screwed it up with St. Louis, the former Cub, not Will Yum, the younger Milwaukee Brewer. I think you said it correctly. I just wanted to clarify because We were speaking about both guys. They are very similar. Earlier in the year, I was saying I really like Will Yum and his opportunity with the Brewers, and Will Sun, the older brother. Not getting it done. Although, like you said, Ty, like 11% walk rate and 26% K rate are fine, but it's just not what you want. 701 OPS also is deceiving, because that sounds like not the worst thing from a catcher, but he's not supposed to be your, you know, 20th kind of ranked catcher. He's supposed to be a top five guy, because that's what he's historically been.
Yeah. And I just don't see it getting better, right? Like, I mean, that's the reality.
Moving into with the Cardinals is death too. Sorry.
Yeah, and they've got better bats coming, and guys that we'll talk about a little bit later, right? Absolutely. They're heavy on the bat side. So moving into the present here, JT Romoto is a guy that I see heading in a similar direction of Contreras. He's not there yet, right? We don't need to throw the panic button on, but in shallow hold leagues in long term dynasty formats, it's time to start considering moving off of him. We're not all the way there yet. He's still near the top of the food chain here at the catcher position, but we're just, you know, we're kind of in that yellow zone of, you know, it's not quite red, but make sure you don't miss out on the value on the exit side. On the more reliable pieces moving forward, obviously Adley Rutschman's going to be that guy. Will Smith in the National League, they're the top of the food chain for sure. I don't think there's really any much debate on that one, Robbie. So we kind of skip through that. I'll hand it to you on the future for obvious reasons.
Sure. Absolutely. We are going to Podo Land to speak about none other than the future of catching. That's right, everybody. Mr. Harry Ford with the Mariners. He was. I just wanted to confirm this. 12th overall. Yeah. Wasn't overall in 2021. As it sits today, he is a mere 20-year-old. Been doing catcher and DH, it says. Interesting. So I guess he's getting even more at bats than we would expect. Yeah, Ty, I'm a little surprised at this number. 266 at bats to this year. But you know what? 335 plate appearances, because the kid's a walk machine. 58 walks, 64 Ks, 250 batting average, 397 OBP. Thank you very much. Now, the power's not crazy. 8 dingers within those 266. Again, high A. He's 20 years old. I'm trying to remember the catcher. Diego Cartilla is the other guy that I was considering trying to, you know, buy for within this. But we've seen the Dodgers in this situation. They actually have two. There's what's the other guy's name? I was just putting my watch list tonight. Fayron Liranzo, Liranzo, who's also at high A, 20 years old, doing very well. Again, not the future of the position. That's Harry Ford's job.
That's really interesting, Robbie, just really quick on Ford, moving through it, like the batting average is slowly ticked down from the complex to A to high A, like, you know, 248 on the season so far, Robbie. So that's something of note, because all the scouting about Ford has been the hit tool is the weakness,
right?
The rest of the game's sound. You know, he's a pretty athletic catcher, probably could play off the position a little bit if they really wanted him to. But that contact tool is going to be really the make or break for Ford. But beyond that, this kid's electric. And we saw him at the WBC, performed pretty well for a kid at his age. So I think there's enough here, Robbie, to get excited about. But just the only reason I bring it up is just as a look for it in the next year. Like, we want to see progression, not regression here, especially if he jumps to double A.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say here, Ty, in his back pocket, for anyone doubting, 23 stolen bases last year, only caught five times, 14 stolen bases this year. Yes, he's been caught six times this year. However, this is a 5'10", 200-pound catcher. I like what we can see from him in the future, and he's heading up. He's heading it up for us. I'll move into first base because I want to talk about the past, and that's Joey Votto. Despite his bursts of power, right when he came back, I mean, he came back at the right time with the Reds because he was going to walk into the lineup, not going to go into nine because he's Joey Votto. He came in, I think, two dingers over the opening weekend he was in, maybe three in the three-game series, something like that. It was great. He's cold as ice since then. Probably not a big surprise for anyone to hear, oh, Joey Votto's in the past. Yeah, no guff, guys. But I personally was holding out hope because in 2021, we saw him make a bit of a change from being an average OBP guy to throwing that power in there. And I thought that could be interesting. Now he could be more useful in my OPS leagues. And obviously the OBP is the thing that we're going to expect him to hold out for. But this improves him in more than just your standard 5x5. But at this point, you know, he's already missed half of this season. He's got a year left. Like, next year is his final year with the Reds under contract. I don't know that I want to do the Miguel Cabrera, you know, lock and load, ride it out with him. I've got him in one league. I'm going to be stuck with him because I think I'm paying $14 of actual dollars for him. So no one's going to take that contract on, even if he is still with the Reds. But it's going to get to the point where I very much like Miggy in Detroit. It's not worth putting him in the lineup if all he's going to do is at most get on base for you. So I don't know what the Reds are going to do if they really find themselves competing, like truly believe that that division is theirs to win and Votto's not getting it done. It could get ugly. I can't imagine it will. I think there'll be there'll be something that occurs this summer that makes it right. But Votto, I don't think, is leaving the Reds unless it's costing Cincinnati to take him off the roster. And I don't know that they're going to do that. So I don't want to be part of Votto moving forward. It'd be great if he was able to continue to, you know, smoke bombs and finish this year with 15 or something. But that average has been struggling now, second year. Wow. And he took so much time off this year, apparently to get right. And it doesn't look like on the average side he has.
I have a theory that they held them back thinking they were going to suck and that their success has actually derailed their plan. Because I think they wanted him to come back about when he did and then have a run so that they could trade him. Right.
In the hopes of being able to move it. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of where their heads are at, because there was no reason to rush him back, obviously. Like, you're just not going to do that. But, like, now you have, you know, someone we're going to talk about a little bit later sending the minors just wasting away because Votto's plugging that hole. So I really think this messed with the plan. It'll be interesting to see how they move through it. I'm with you. I don't think they want to keep him. I'm not sure they have a choice, though. That's kind of the issue.
Yeah, there's like six guys who I think they could give the DH type first base, but you know, the way you would move a roster around, I think there's six guys you'd rather have in that lineup than Votto, unless you think Votto is getting those good at bats and, you know, high pitch counts. And we haven't seen enough of him to say there's a trend that he's doing one thing or the other. But out of the gate, you look at the stat line. You know, I watched two games where Votto was up and it was great. There was a crazy Reds Pirates? No, it was Baltimore-Cincinnati last week. Oh, it was great. It was a great game to watch. It was like post-rain delay, so it was on late. And yeah, it was. It was Reds. And I forget what happened in the one inning where I think somebody from the Reds, someone made their MLB debut and just got their tits lit on the mound. But it was exciting to watch. And it was definitely Cincinnati had somebody that came in and got lit up, because whoever it was coming up for Baltimore. Sure. They, like, there was a whole bunch of fans that had shirts of the guy. All this, it was just like, it looked so fun to be in Baltimore. Like, yeah. I was jealous of the fact that, like, they were having fun at a baseball game where all we hear in the GTA area is how much, you know, the Blue Jays are mismanaging the whole thing. You know, they could have a 110 win team, but they could also be a 70 win team. So it was just neat to see, like, positive things from some broadcasters.
Well, I mean, they're on a bit of a downturn right now. I did enjoy Alex Fast, who is obviously a big Orioles fan, posted the Rob Schneider, "Oh no, we suck again." Yeah, which made me laugh a little bit today. So I appreciate that. But yeah, the thing here for me, Robbie, is like, I see one scenario for the Reds to trade Votto. I think it has to be to a team that's a young upstart team that has a shot to make the playoffs. So for me, it's the Tigers, It's the Marlins, right? It's those couple of teams, really. Maybe I can see the Diamondbacks with an injury, right? If like Christian Walker went down or even Pavin Smith.
Somebody
like,
that desperately wants a lefty.
Well, need that lefty bench bat, right? And the Tigers for sure are perfect. Like they could, like if you magically have a Miguel Cabrera injury. Yeah, but no. But that's a scenario where Miggy all of a sudden has a fake injury and he goes on the you know, injured list for the rest of the year. Like Major League Baseball is not going to say anything about it, right? They're just going to let that slide and let Miggy do his thing. But, you know, that's a scenario that if they're in it, like they could use that extra power left-handed bat in that lineup. So, you know, I could see that happening. That's probably the number one in my mind that I can come up with. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So moving on past Votto, much love, but it's time to move on. Present. And this is a fun one here, Robbie. Obviously, your boy Alonso is in here. Vlad Jr. I got to assume he's going to figure it out. Like for me, Robbie, Vladdy, as a diehard Jays fan, they got to fire the hitting coach. It has to happen. Vladdy's at-bats are awful. He's way too good to have as poor of an approach as he's having up there. But Vladdy's also way too good to not move through this. So if there's anybody in your leagues that's considering trading you, Vladdy, take it and run. It will be the best decision you make in the next decade. He's going to be cheaper than he should be. The power is still there. So either he's fighting an injury and he's not talking about it, but it doesn't look like that because he's not turning on literally anything. So that's part of my issue there, Robbie. A little bit of concern, but at the same time, you know, confidence he'll move through it. Nate Lowe is the guy I told you all to buy last season, right? You know, kind of came out of nowhere, Robbie. Like, I think in terms of the, you know, the bounce back scenario, like, I think everyone thought he was a dead horse. Monster
second half.
Yeah. And then he had, yeah, the best, probably best second half in baseball last year. And he's done most of that this year. Maybe not as electric as we saw in the second half, but again, people are adjusting to him. So kind of his move, and he's been relatively consistent. So I'm good for that one as well. And that's a good group at the one base position. There's a couple fringe guys that we could add in there, but I don't really think there's anybody else that's like jumping out of the page at first base to be included in that present list.
Like Freeman, obviously, Olsen, obviously, and Goldschmidt. Sure. But Goldschmidt is absolutely the cusp guy like Realmuto. Same
but
I idea
put Freeman
here.
There too. Like Freeman's a great hitter, but like he's in that same ballpark as Goldschmidt, right? Like those guys to me are heading the wrong way.
Yeah. And he has quieted down over his last 100 at bats. You know, he still for the season has gaudy numbers, 314 average, 925 OPS, 14 dingers. But over the last month it has, you know, it has come down 260, but still very respectable 800 or 801 OPS. The big thing with Vladdy is the power. The big thing with Freeman is you live and die by the average. And of course, he's going to be in situations where, you know, he's being really productive. Vladdy's right on pace with his RBI total, his stolen base total from last year. Walks and strikeouts are almost identical as well. So he's in a position where it's like, well, if he gets into a good ballpark or a good rhythm over a couple weeks, we could all of a sudden see those like potential year-end numbers bolt back up. But like Vlad's the guy to buy on, right?
Yeah. So just for those that don't watch every night like I do, like you can see a concerted effort from Vladdy over the last about 2 weeks to hit the ball in the air. Like he's intentionally trying to there was a curveball on, I don't know what day it was, Thursday maybe. It was a hanger, whatever day, Thursday, Wednesday, whatever. Absolute hanger that last year he would have hit into the fifth deck, but he just hung back and was just a fraction early. Like his timing's just not quite there. So he will get there. And to your point, Robbie, it's an absolute buy. But Alonso is a guy that I think has always been cheaper than he should be in this category. Right. I don't think anyone, Robbie, has valued him as high as you have or as high as he should
be. I agree
with
that. Yeah, I agree.
So I think that's one that I think is always kind of an option if you really need a big move. Like that's probably a value one they can look at. And again, we talked about Nate Lowe. So I like this group. Moving to the future, Robbie. Like you got a guy in St. Louis that you've been on for years at this point. I'm into him now a little bit too. Not as much as the other guy in this group, but I'll hand it to you for your guy.
Yeah, sure. So Lucan Baker for me with St. Louis. I mean, I've mentioned him so many times simply because he looks like he could be a guy. And upon his draft, he was a pitcher converted. So he's got a big body, big frame. The big thing with him was like, is he a three true outcome? No, because he's not walking enough. So what's the deal with Luken Baker? We need to see, you know, he had a good double A season, then came up last year, triple A and struggled. What's he doing this year, Ty? Leading all of minor league baseball with 22 home runs in triple A. He's got a top five stat line, batting over 300, you know, great OPS. He's just getting it done. He got a call up, but like we talked about a little bit, St. Louis doesn't have anywhere for players to play that are struggling, right? When you got a catcher who just signed a big contract and you don't want him to catch anymore, or the pitchers don't want to throw to him anymore, that guy's stealing DH at bats that Luken Baker type player could have. So as much as I love Baker, now is, because he's sent back down, now is the time to go get him, because it doesn't look like there's a spot for him in St. Louis, and you're not buying him for 2023 production. You're buying him in the hopes he's got a new organization with a clear path to playing time at some point, possibly this year, possibly next. You know, it'd be a great landing spot for him, Cleveland, because they've got Josh Bell not getting it done. And Cleveland, as we know, has all the pitching you could ever want. And St. Louis needs that one thing called pitching. So it could work out really well. Not that Luken Baker would get great value in return, but if you've got the potential for a veteran pitcher to leave Cleveland, Luken Baker could be one of their potential targets back, simply because they're like, look at this guy hitting bombs. We thought Josh Bell was going to do that for us this year. So that's a perfect scenario. And he is like an under the radar prospect for sure. Ty, you've got the guy everybody's starting to really drool over, who in just about the same amount of at bats has had super similar production to Luken Baker at AAA.
Yeah. So the last thing on Luken for me too, is like, these are the kind of guys that I get into, and my guys is similar, like where you have some trajectory on the hit tool, right? Like guys that have obvious power are great. And you know, if you can predict that, then you're a major league GM. But you know, the guys that you're looking through the stats in their minor league systems, watching that progression of the hit tool happen, generally they come into pro ball and they hit at the low levels. They get promoted early, then they have a huge dip when the pitching gets better, and then you have that kind of rise. And that's what Baker's stat line looks like. It's not so different from Encarnacion Strands, who's my guy here in Cincinnati, being held up by Votto that we talked about before. There's one thing I really don't like here, though, Robbie, with Strand, and it's just that the Reds don't want him to be who he is. I hate when teams change the guy, right? Like, he was hitting 350 with some strikeouts. Who cares? You're hitting 350. Right. Yes, you're going to have some additional strikeouts at the major league level, but if that moves you from 350 to 280, and you have the OPS like he does in the minors, I don't care, right? Because for the most part, he's still getting good bat on the ball, and he's punishing mistakes, and that's what makes a good major league hitter. So I don't really like what they've done with him there, but the numbers are special. Like before the entire team around him got promoted to the major leagues, like he was just destroying. Now he's got like guys that are from single A playing beside him now. And it's not the same, right? So for anybody that's looking at his stat line going, oh, he's not the same guy. Yeah. No kidding. Right. You lost Matt McClain and Ellie Dela Cruz before and after you. That's going to change your pitches that you get to see on that front. I like that he's still in the minors, because now he has to make that adjustment. What happens when I'm not protected? That's an important lesson. I'm good with him learning that. I don't like if you follow his game logs over the last month or so, you can tell when the conversation was had with him of, listen, you need to take some more walks, because he was going 1, 2, 3 hits a night for, you know, 30 days. And then all of a sudden one hit with some walks, less strikeouts. So there was obviously a this is what you need to do to get to the pros conversation. Happen at some level, but this is still an absolute buy. I told everybody this last year. We talked about it in the spring, Robbie. I still feel that this guy, from a fantasy asset value, is the most underappreciated fantasy asset out there right now. I feel very strongly about that.
Okay. Well, there will be, I think, over the next couple of weeks, some of those guys who just produce all of the content and everybody gets pissed off because they're releasing ranks every few weeks. There'll be some new lists popping up over the All-Star break into July, and we'll see a few names that are going to really, you know, start to take over for some of the other guys who are graduated off of the prospect list. We'll see how far up some of these Cincinnati guys go.
Well, and really quick, Robbie, just to put a button on that one, like, CIS is not on most lists, like top 100. That's why I say, like, when you want to talk about underappreciated, like, this guy has been crushing baseballs and isn't even on the list to begin with. So just food for thought there. Like, it's crazy to me how many lists he's not on. It's just, it doesn't even make sense.
Okay. Well, we'll move to a less exciting position, but at the same time, a very good one if you get the right guy. Past Ty, you wrote Nolan Gorman.
Yeah. Yeah. Move, sell, get out of town. Like, I just think the swing and miss is almost not going to be able to be overcome. Like, very similar to like a Kevin Biggio, right? In terms of like,
who I threw on the list. Yeah. Yeah, somebody like with higher hopes. Every year they've gotten down a little lower, a little lower, a little lower. We're now relegated to bench bat / second baseman when you're streaking, meaning you're on base once a game.
And don't get me wrong, Gorman power is scary, right? If we were in a local softball league, like, I want Gorman all day, every day, right? But this is Major League Baseball, and you have to hit the ball to produce, or you've got to walk an insane amount to justify your inability to put the ball in play. And he doesn't do that. So, you know, it's, for me, I just don't see the bounce back. I don't see a Tyler O'Neill, you know, kind of like there was some underneath of this. Like, I just see somebody that struggles to make consistent contact when the pitchers put focus on him.
So right now, Nolan Gorman's hitting .231 with a .776 OPS. Neither of those numbers we want to see. They should both be higher. .776 OPS might be in and around the league average. However, we've got 16 dingers, which does beat out what he had last year. He had 14 and 30 less at bats. The overall production from last year, he's down in runs from last year. He's up in RBIs. And he's got a couple extra stolen bases, but the walks are in and around the same. And the strikeout total is a little bit better. But I think maybe what you're trying to tell everybody, Ty, is when you see Nolan Gorman in print, think Luke Voit, which is, you know, you got a time bomb ticking. It's a matter of at what point can he not sustain himself to stay on a major league roster. Is that kind of what you're getting at here?
Yeah, so last month, Robbie, 33 strikeouts and 74 at-bats, 122 batting average, OPS of 400.
Yep.
Stamp it, put it in the mail, see you later. Right? Okay. Like, I mean, this is just where he's been. And I, like, I'm sorry, like, you know, I want to hope for the kid, but I don't see the longevity of what he could be. He could be a power bat off the bench. Like, if he could ever become second base version of Corey Dickerson, that would be a huge win. But I don't think that's in the cards, pun intended.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Moving into the present, we've got a good duo here. Ozzie Albies with Atlanta and Luis Ariz in Miami. Now, Ariz has obviously been the talk of the town since coming to Miami because he's been flirting with 400 for oh so long. Tonight, he's sitting at .387 before game play. Again, the guy's 26 years old. He's been a 300 hitter since he was a 24-year-old. This is impressive, like Ichiro Suzuki level contact here. The power's not there. He's not a stolen base guy. We said a few years ago he's empty average, and that's because with Minnesota, initially, he was just the guy you would put in because you had a Joey Gallo on your team, a Nolan Gorman on your team, so you needed to lessen the overall strikeouts. But Ariz has become a much better player since that time. And I mean, I'm loving Ariz in the couple leagues I've got him. I even got him from you in a league, Ty, a couple years ago. And that was the empty average guy that I got. And it was simply because I had the big boppers. I had Alonzo striking out a lot. I had guys I needed to kind of protect my weekly K count with in those head-to-head leagues where you do count strikeouts. Albies is a step above, I think, in a production manner from Ariz.
Well, I would say yes and no. Like, I mean, I think we've seen the production from Ariz just because of the volume, right? I mean, I think that's a reality. Like, he's the only guy in the league that his average is dropping and going 1-for-3. So, I mean, that says something there, right? Like, that's true. You know, it's so, I mean,
he doesn't do that often either.
Yeah. And, I mean, listen, like, if he can maintain a 9-17 OPS where he's at right now, like, I would put him in the category of LBs, if not better, production wise, because the amount of runs he's going to score from that scenario is going to be very high. So that's the part that I'm excited about for him, is I think we might see a run total still, especially as that Miami roster continues to get better and more experienced and you know, we're seeing it. Like, they put a 15 spot on the Cardinals today, right? Like, that's, you know, what they're starting to become. Kudos to that front office for firing Jeter. Fixed everything, right? So, I mean, just kidding.
He's better spent his time on, what is it, Fox Sports that he's with A-Rod?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One little note here, Ty, for everybody who's just kind of curious, the overall, one of the things I like to do in some leagues when I'm just doing some basic math on, like, output, I'll very quickly just add up, you know, runs and RBIs, and then I'll make that a category of my own. I'll also add up stolen bases and home runs. And when you get into stolen bases and home runs, Albies crushes Ariz. When you get into runs and RBIs, at this moment in time, Albies has over 100 combined and Ariz has just under 80. So there is a bump for Ariz for overall production. But again, I don't really know how you want to justify average and OPS when it's like not the OPS, but when the average is by far the best in the league. He's just one of those safe bets. And I mean, we're not saying anything bad about either guy. They're both like awesome. But if you want to make a trade today, an offer, I should say, and you were looking for Albies against one guy and you were looking for Ariz against the other, Ariz will come at a more reasonable price. But you'll get more categories total from Albies. So
yeah, no, I agree. Like, I'm an Albies guy over an Ariz guy myself. Like, that's a no-brainer in my mind as a preference, but I'm also a guy that builds my middle infield. Like, I always have been. I always will be. I build most of my teams around those two positions. So,
and I typically punt my middle. I punt my middle infield. I punt my corner. I punt my outfield. I punt my pitching. And then I dumpster dive. And I mean, I love it. So anyway, let's talk about the future. Because sometimes I have guys for the future. I just trade them away. But one guy I wanted to mention, Ty, is Miguel Vargas. And to your point about Christian Encarnacion's strand with the Reds, having someone talk to him about changing his approach, the Dodgers did that. And it was very vocal with Miguel Vargas from the start of this year in spring training, where they're like, do not swing, do not swing. I think he's the future of the second base, possibly first base. We'll see how it all works out in Dodgerland. Simply because they are basically experimenting with Vargas this entire year, because I think they know what he can do if they were to unleash him, but they're trying to see what can they create if they're holding him back. And I love the idea of having a super powerful dog that you can just let go, let him off leash at some point in time. Maybe it's going to be after the All-Star break, and all of a sudden you see this like raw power coming at you. And I think Vargas is going to be a great pickup because he doesn't look like an awesome guy to have in your lineup right now. Like, he's one of those guys in good dynasty leagues where he's possibly on the bench of one of the top teams in the league because that guy acquired him and he's just waiting him out. So
yeah, I would agree. I mean, the only thing that like scares me, I don't think his hit tool is as good as everybody thinks it is. That's my take. So like, I still like what he can be, but you know, my brother and I have had this debate because he, you know, fell in love with it. And I'm like, I don't like the risk. That's the part that I don't like, Robbie, because, you know, we've talked about this over many years. Like, I'm a high floor guy. And for me, Vargas has a very low floor. Like, he could be a nothing when we're all said and done here. And that
He's hitting sub 200 right now. He's been just over 130 the last month, OPS under 500. Like, the one thing that they wanted was him to walk. And in the last month, or I should say just for the year, 36 walks, 59 strikeouts, 249 at-bats. That's what they want from him. But at some point, you've got to let him go back to that contact, or maybe not even that power stroke, so that he doesn't become this washout guy who has this terrible stat line. And then when you look back at his, you know, baseball card, his first 2 years, you're going to see sub 200 averages. The OPS from his initial rookie season, again, 47 at-bats, who cares, 455. But if he's under 700 OPS at the end of this year, it's not going to look good, right? Yeah. But I still think there's something legitimate there with Vargas. Sorry, I just wanted to have that point there so no one gives up.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying give up. I'm just saying that the risk is the scary part. That's why I'm out, because I'm, when it comes to like low floors, I'm risk averse. That's about the only spot that I won't take the risk, is if I think the floor is too low. So a good one here. I threw a curveball here at Robbie on this one, and I moved Gunnar Henderson to second base, which I don't think anyone's really made that assumption yet. I see that as his long-term outcome. He's been a lot, you know, primarily third base for the Orioles. But I do think the long-term home for him is either second, or I think we're going to see him in the outfield. And given the outfield prospects that are coming for the Orioles, I tend to think it's going to be that second base option. So I slid him in here because I think that's his future. I still love this kid. Like, as much as he's had up and down numbers, and obviously he's been a little bit better recently, I just see a ball player. These are the kind of guys that I like to bet on, guys that I just think have the gamer mentality, the Dustin Pedroia style of baseball, if you will.
Yeah, this is very much like Marlins back in the day where they just put the guys in and let them go. Henderson could be just learning at the big league level right now, kind of like Vargas, well, but a little different.
Yeah, and last year too, like, he had a big bump up in his production as the season went on. I mean, it was a smaller sample, but it was very similar. So, you know, I think we might be seeing a trend of a slow starter here, which is completely fine. Like, good teams don't want their guys to peak early. So as long as they have some guys to balance it out and they're not chasing from behind like the Cardinals, then, you know, I think they're good. The K rate's still an issue, right? That's the big issue here with Henderson. But he's having at bats, and, you know, we had the Giants in last week in Toronto, and all they talked about was how many strikeouts they have because of how many pitches they see. So, you know, Henderson falls into that category a little bit. So just something to note, like, don't give up on him yet. Don't think you should be moving off of him. He will figure it out. He will be great. But he will be great from the second base position. That's my prediction there.
Okay. Now I've got a bit of a flyer here, because again, like, this isn't dumpster diving. Guys at 21-year-old at high A, Jared Serna. I had a quick look on Fantrax, home of your best dynasty leagues. I know we're not recording enough to earn sponsorship, but Fantrax, we're willing. We are willing. You throw us the money, put that in my account, and we will record exclusive Fantrax episodes. Anyway, because he's on, fun fact, Ty, Jared Serna is on the Fantrax website, not on CBS, which I checked, not on Yahoo, which I checked. So Serna, 21-year-old Yankee second baseman, in 289 at-bats, has 49 runs, 14 dingers, 48 RBIs. So we're talking about where Ozzie Albies is, right around 100 combined runs, RBIs. So you've got Serna doing basically the same level of production at high A. He has 16 stolen bases, 287 average, 349 OBP, and an 844 OPS, and no one cares. However, in our big money auction league, the Oakland GM does have him, which of course means I won't be able to get him, but that's okay. I was kind of hoping maybe he'd be a flyer in a few of my other dynasty leagues. He's one of those guys I'm going to circle back to in September before they get into playoffs and just see how has the rest of his year gone. One of the things I do like to do, if I see some guy who randomly has a stat line, or I see someone post about this guy or that guy, they watched somebody at a game, they stood out, I like to go and have a look at them right now and just freeze frame their stat line and then go back to it, you know, in 30 days or 60 days. Has something changed? Were they just hot at that point in time when someone saw them or commented? Or is this like a good player that just isn't getting the respect? And then, you know, Spencer Arrigotti is the one from Houston last year that really stood out to me as a pitcher on that end. Maybe we'll talk about him in a future one. Maybe Jared Serna's a guy for this year. But anyway, that's a second baseman and not a shortstop. Definitely not a shortstop. This is a second baseman with the Yankees at high A that we should see a midseason promotion, and maybe we'll see some good stuff. Anyway,
my concern is his first name's Jared. Like, there's not a lot of Jareds in Major League Baseball. Like, but Jared Klenick is one of, like, one.
Isn't there a diamond company that's like Jared Jewelers? Like, maybe he could be a diamond.
Yeah, he could be forever, but like, he could be forever before he
has it. Diamonds are forever.
Yeah, well, that's one of the companies that I think slings it. Jared? I don't know. Or no, Jared is that might be the one that, like, something starts with Jared.
Subway guy.
That's the song. Anyway,
because we're not getting into that.
yeah. Speaking of shortstops, let's move on. So we have the shortstop position now, and, you know, I think Tim Anderson is in this past conversation right now, Robbie. Like, the obviously he's coming off some injuries. Like, so if you want to talk about a high upside risk moving forward, like, Tim Anderson's definitely that guy, right? Like, there could be huge ROI on a buy low on Tim Anderson. However, the hit tool for me is a huge concern. Like, that just disappeared. And so why? Is it because the velocity ticked up too high? Like, is that where we're at? You know, has it eclipsed what Tim Anderson can do successfully? Like, I have huge concerns about the drop off for him because he's been so consistent. the speed's still going to be there. There's going to be a little bit of power, but if you're not making good contact because you're late, not going to have as much, you know, power either. So I'm very, very concerned about the future of Tim Anderson here, Robbie.
I agree. I mean, I have never had a player, or sorry, a GM come at me trying to trade me a shortstop, because I need one in several leagues. Like I said, I punt middle infield, corner infield, outfield, pitching. I guess I also punt catcher. Anyway, in two leagues, I have had different GMs, knowing that my teams are competitive, saying, let me trade you Tim Anderson. And they're trying to trade me all-star Tim Anderson, who, you know, steals bases and, like, you know, is flashy and gets all the stats. But that's not the guy that we're seeing right now. What we're seeing right now is a beat up guy who needs rest, needs recovery, needs that time to, like, you know, change a diet, get into a new routine, which will not happen in season. Like, I don't know what his plans are for the All-Star break other than not attending, but I'm not expecting to see a great second half out of Tim Anderson. He's reminding me of Yan Moncada, who we all wanted to be better. Yeah, I know. No. We all wanted to be better. But what's Moncada's star done, right? It's gone down, 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 down. The difference, I guess, between the two would be that Moncada had that insane strikeout number when he first came in, but then he got it right. But then he's had injuries. And maybe that's what's happening with the White Sox in general, is that they just have like some bad stuff going on. But Anderson certainly doesn't seem like he's going to turn it around for me next year.
And relevant, like, cut in here, Robbie, just because we've already talked about it tonight. Mm-hmm. White Sox hosting the Blue Jays. Vladdy Guerrero, 2-run home run off Joe Kelly in the 8th inning to take a 4-3 lead. So there it is. Balls in the air. That's what we like to see. But I'm with you on all of what you just said on Anderson. The value, I've had that same conversation in one of those leagues with that same owner. And the prices that he was throwing around for what was a 3/4 of a season and now half a season are ludicrous, like out of this world, way off of value. So yeah. I understand exactly the conversation that you've had. But yeah, it's one of those things where there's a reason you and I are both terrified, right? We're informed, we know what we're talking about. And there's things here that are not good. And that's why he's on this list. You know, I think there's going to be some people that are listening and be like, wait, what? Like, Tim Anderson sucks now?
Right, exactly. I think Tim Anderson is going to rebound. No. We're saying caution here, right? Like, there's some things that need to change about Tim Anderson before we can see that previous, like, high-level top 50 type guy, dynasty darling. But guys on the present. Oh, go ahead.
No, and this is a big disappointment for me, Robbie. Like, I love how much flair Tim Anderson brings. Right? Yeah. I like the fun. I want to see Tim Anderson succeed. I don't think it can happen in Chicago for sure. He does have an interesting club option, which is reasonably friendly. So, like, there is a really good chance with a new situation he can bounce back. Like, I do like the buy low here. If you have depth to do it, I love it. If you're betting on that for your team to make a huge move or a bounce back, I don't like it. But it's for me in the generality, moving on from Timmy here.
And I mean, there's several shortstops not getting it done this year. Trey Turner is also not having that MVP level season that he previously had, but I don't think anybody should be looking to move, you know, Trey Turner. Whereas with Anderson, there's a few more things that are coming to the forefront. Guys getting it done. You could name five right now, but let's just go with the present of shortstop being Bo Bichette, who is just like rocking and rolling as a shortstop, and Matt McClain with the Reds, who's come up and really solidifying himself as, you know, a great middle infielder to come. That's the present. You know, the future, if we want to take one step further, somebody we've previously talked about, Brady House with Washington. And we talked about House saying, hey, we are hearing some terrible things about Brady House. Calm down, right? High K, issues. And I think everybody needs to take a step back. Brady House doing good things. Certainly looks like in Washington, he's a future shortstop. And then I've got one that's a little under the radar, but not in your deep dynasty leagues where you've got some guys who are understanding of the Dominican Summer League results. Kiner Delgado, who I talked about this offseason a little bit, he's not going to be on your list yet. He's one of those guys who's going to be, you know, next wave type shortstop who had a great year last year. I'll very quickly check and see how he's doing this year. I feel like he came over to the complex. Let me very quickly check on old Kiner Delgado. Boom.
One really quick on Brady House too. Like, I think one of the things that happened with Brady House he got overhyped, right? Like, he was a prep guy that everybody talked about in the prep cycle, and he was so good that he got oversaturated. They looked so closely, they started to pick him apart. He's an 18-year-old with incredible upside. So I think they overanalyzed that one a little bit, Robbie. That's my take on that one. And I think he's proving it. Like, he's only been at high A for 12 games, 51 plate appearances. He's hitting .354. The OPS is strong, coming in north of 1,000. So, you know, you like to see that. Like, obviously lots of progression still in his future before we anoint him the next great guy. But 9 home runs, reasonable steal totals great for him.
For a 20-year-old, you'll take 9 dingers from a 20-year-old playing at, like, you know, whatever, 2/3 of this season, or sorry, 3/4 of this season, he's been a year younger than the competition. He's moved up. Now he's like 2.5 years younger. Absolutely. Like, Brady House had a crap 2022 by the standards that he was told to, or sorry, that we expected to see from him, right? 278 was fine. It was not elite. Yeah. It was fine. And everyone's like, he's not elite. 3 dingers, not elite. Again, he went right back to A this year, right? He got a big taste of A last year, went right back to it this year, dominated, boom, they moved him up.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah. It's way too early to decide whether these kids can figure it out. Like, you know, we just talked about a couple guys that figured it out later in the minor league cycle. So, like, you know, there's a guy we're going to talk about at the next position that I think falls into a very similar category here, Robbie. High school bat that had a power, you know, tag on him, and they started to go, wait a second, this guy's not going to be able to hit. Right. And wrong in both cases here. So I think that's, you know, a good lesson for you guys that are out there trying to get these people predicting high school bats. Like, the majority of people in the fantasy world that are predicting high school bats have zero idea what they're talking about, and they've heard it from somebody, or they read it on somebody else's site. So, you know, be careful with that advice that you hear about, you know, high school bats, especially.
Yeah. So on to DSL guy. So this is Delgado. DSL's 18-year-old, just ran the floor, 504 OBP, 1010 OPS, couple home runs, 34 stolen bases. So the Yankees were like, yeah, okay, that checks the box. You don't need to go back. Now come on over. And he is now in the Florida, what's it called? Complex League. Thank you, FCL. And in 102 plate appearances, 85 at bats, he's got the same number of dingers in 3, 14 stolen bases, 16 walks, 9 strikeouts. You know what he did last year, Ty, in the DSL? And this is why I fell in love with him. He had 58 walks in 28 strikeouts. I love that, because you can regress so much when you're already doing that. You have such a good eye. And at the DSL, they have guys who are 23, 24-year-old as the pitchers there. They're throwing all they've got. They are hoping somebody's going to give them $5,000 and tell them to cross, you know, come stateside and give them a shot at a pro career. And then you've got guys like this at 18 years old who can just see it. And Delgado is still doing that right now. I can't wait to see his year-end stat line. He's going to start blowing up lists. Again, like, there could be the Yankee factor if they move him to Tampa for the end of the year to be, what's that A team, the Tarpons or something like that. If move him up there, great. If he gets to go to big league camp next year, all of a sudden, I think a year's time, Kiner Delgado is going to be a pretty common fantasy name. In the few leagues that I was able to scoop him up, I'm very happy with it. And I have had some of the big fish in those leagues nibbling away, seeing if I'm interested in making deals already, because they know what's coming. He's the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about the future, but like a guy to put on the radar, very similar to the speech we just gave about Brady House, about anointing people too early. Like, Delgado is one to watch for sure. But let's
Delgado's the next cheater. No, he's the next cheater. Oof. He's the captain. I mean, yeah, if I'm digging in, we are going Honeywell level right here with Kiner Delgado. Stamp it, buy the jersey. He'll probably wear number 9. Can they wear retired? No, they don't wear retired jerseys.
Did you say Delgado or?
Oh yeah, Kiner Delgado.
Or did you say Madrigal?
I did not. They are totally different.
Too soon? Okay. Anyway, moving on. Third base. Let's talk about it. I mean, Justin Turner, I got nothing but love for Justin Turner, but he's old. And he's having a great season in Boston. And there's nothing wrong with Justin Turner outside the fact that he's old. He's producing. He's doing Justin Turner things.
That's
everyone has said for what it feels like 5, 6 years now, Robbie. Everyone's like, Turner's done. right?
Yes.
And he just keeps on going. Yeah. You know, and maybe this is why people have a problem with gingers. I don't know. Like, this could be one of those things.
Genetic mistakes. They are genetic mistakes.
But Justin Turner having a great season. I love this for trade bait for Boston. Like, this was a nice pickup. Asset management.
Doesn't he have a three-year deal? Do you know offhand, Ty? I thought he signed a multi-year deal, two, three years. And that would be the holdup to me. And well, if
I thought it was a one-year. Yeah. I could be dead wrong on that one, too.
Maybe it is. Chris,
while you're talking.
Sure. So I'll go on to the guy who's like a true disappointment. And I think so, it's time right now. It's Anthony Rendon. But who's your – let's wrap it up on Turner.
Player option for next
year. Oh, so he's taking that.
I don't know.
It must have been much – it must have been under market.
So 15 mil for 23 with a 24 player option. So I got to assume the player option is probably slightly cheaper, I would think.
Right. Enough so, that he would want to opt out if he
I think
well.
He would opt out of that. Yeah, I think he's going to look at the scenario, and I think it probably depends on what Chapman does too, right? Like if Chapman is finishes up this season strong for some reason instead of the like hole in the Blue Jays lineup he's been. But I think he did. He had an unreal start. But if he is the best bat, you know, offensively for a one-year deal, like I think he has to opt out because I think there's
so 20 maybe mil that's why. At least.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for him if he opts out for 1 year. So, okay. it'll be interesting there. But you got to like 277, 13 home runs, 52 runs, 46 RBIs. Like nothing upsetting about that whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, again, he's over 100 in the run RBI combined, which is looking good for rest of season. So, Anthony Rendon is not, other than like pushing player or fans in Oakland, Rendon has just been pushing fantasy owners for years now. We are waiting to see consistency. The value has not dropped in dynasty leagues. I'm sure it has now, but it's almost at this point, it's like, oh my God, I made a mistake. You know, you could go and get Anthony Rendon. And if he's on a big contract, you know, depending on your league settings or whatever, if it's like, you know, contract based, like he's going to not be cheap. Under no circumstances did anyone give up on him to the point that they, you know, the investment was minimal. You're going to pay for him to get him. Like, it's just not worth it. He's in their fantasy past until he has proven for the remainder of this year and into next year that it is not some like fluke 200 at bat thing. He's such a risk. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. So there's there's a lot of options at third base, and there's a lot of multi-position guys who you can throw in there and get some production out of that don't have the cost to your roster. They won't eat the prospects that a Rendon trade will cost you. It's just not a good move. But the present, Ty, is bright. We've got Josh Jung from Texas, who you are all over. Jose Ramirez, who is just a top 10 stud. Austin Riley, who even in a less impressive first half than last year, is still a top player. And Ellie De La Cruz with Cincinnati, if third base is his home, you know, him, Spencer Steer, you can throw a lot of things in for the Reds, which is great. Great news. Great problem to have. The present is very bright across baseball. It's all of a sudden become a position with some good high-end talent where you're not banking on a Matt Chapman to, you know, minimize your risk with his case, depending on your league settings, right?
Yeah, there's two things for me on Ellie De La Cruz. Like, Ellie De La Cruz physically as a specimen is maybe the most closest thing to Robert Acuña Jr. that we have, right? Like, that's just maybe a good comp, right? The issue for me is the strikeouts, and I think the high likelihood that he ends up in center field. That's my only fear.
Oh, right. You mentioned that on a previous one. Yeah, I'm going to check really closely to see. I know he's, you know, shortstoppy too, like McLean here. I want to see where
he came up as a shortstop, right? Like that's his spot. Like that's what he, you know, is there to do. But you've 15 got other
third base, 10 shortstop so far, Ty. Yeah, and one DH in 26 games.
I just think with the guys that they still have coming, they've got two more shortstops coming, right? And I think Novelli Marte is the third base option there.
Okay,
like I think that's where he's going to end up. And I cannot pull the other name off the top of my head right now. What is it?
It's the other Seattle guy, right? Is that who you're thinking of?
Like, and I believe he's the defensive wizard of the group. I can't think of it either. I'm gonna go back and look at it here in a second. But like that's my big concern there. But like Josh Jung is a stud. He's a starting third baseman in the All-Star game. He's gonna win Rookie of the Year, right? Like this is a guy that is a legit fantasy stud. And if you listen to me over the last 2 years, you have him, and good for you. Congratulations. If you're new to the podcast, sorry, he's no longer available. And that's too bad. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, these are the guys that make up your team. Robbie, Jose Ramirez is certainly a guy that's helped many, many, many teams win championships over the last couple of years. And he still has a couple left to do that at least. So, you know, I think this group is very healthy and maybe one of the more healthy positions, top end,
I think so.
On the board, right?
I think it's going to be the one that this offseason we're going to look back and be like, oh, look at the depth here, right? Yeah, and you look back a year before and you're like, I think these veterans have more in the tank. Whereas now you're going to say, okay, who might have a step back in their sophomore year? Because we've seen great rookie seasons from several guys, and we've seen some other guys really start to emerge. Ellie De La Cruz, in his last six games, Ty, has only had three multi-hit games.
Yeah.
So four hits today in four at-bats for him. One ribby to show. 308 average at the moment. I mean, the strikeouts are over 30%. You're not ideal with that. The walk rate is under 6%. You're not great with that. But to your point with other players that we've mentioned tonight, sometimes you just need to let the big dogs eat.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing.
And unfortunately, the adjustment for De La Cruz is coming, right? We've not seen it yet. Like, they haven't adjusted for him just yet. Edwin Arroyo is the guy we were talking at. A couple sites have him listed at second base. So maybe that decision's already been made. Matt McClain certainly can play shortstop, but it'll be interesting to see what decision they make. They've got a ton of depth that they've got to organize. Joey Votto's got to go. Cam Collier's in that mix too, right? Their first round pick last year is another guy that's going to muddy that water in the long term. So this Cincinnati team is here to stay, Robbie. It's real, real good. Like, on this list, Encarnacion Strand is 11th. 11th. It's crazy. Crazy that he's 11th. He's behind Michael Ciani, who is a sneaky outfield prospect, speed, contact rate, but he's not behind Michael Ciani. There's no way. That's ludicrous. So shame on you, Fangraphs, which is the list that I'm looking at. That doesn't even make sense.
Okay. So that's the present. Now we'll go to the future. We've got Holt Keith and Kobe Mayo, couple short name guys. First off, both names are good. That's something to like about their future. Second thing, Holt Keith, 21 years old, playing at AAA now, just promoted after murderballing AA, 325, 391, and a 977 OPS. He also managed to hit 14 dingers in 276 at-bats. He's now just over 300 at-bats for the year between AA and AAA. And the funny thing is that in like limited time in AAA, which is why I didn't want to mention it, he's hitting 476. So he's just having a great year, and it's awesome. This is a fifth round guy back in that 2020 draft that only had five rounds. Holt Keith was drafted in your good dynasty, and he's only improved since then.
And Kobe Mayo was in the same draft, I believe. But they were both there. So
you talked a lot about Kobe Mayo. You know, credit to you. He's 6'5", 230 now. He was, I think, 4'11", 114 when he was drafted. No, he wasn't. He was a beast then. Well, but you talked very highly of Kobe Mayo at the time he was drafted and said, this is going to be a guy, which I think now Chicago Cubs pro scout analyst Mason also agreed with.
So, Robbie, just as context, in the to-be-named later league that I'm no longer a part of, I drafted both of these guys in that draft, and I'm not happy about whoever has my team right now having the result of that draft, because you had questioned me when I took Colby Keith. You were like, who is this guy? Like, just wait. There will be a time, and you will all see it. We're in that moment.
I've got good news for you. In that league, I have Kobe Mayo now. So I don't know what happened, but he's now on my roster, and I'm going to very quickly check to see where.
That's like Keith, that's whatever, 6 degrees of separation nonsense, right? Like, is that how that works?
Possibly. Last year's league runner-up or third place, the Chicago Cubs in that league, that guy has Holt Keith in that one. But Kobe Mayo, as I mentioned, he's a beast of a man. A double A year where Holt Keith had spent most of his year, Kobe Mayo is still hanging out down there, 325 at-bats in for him. 269 at-bats, 325 plate appearances, which goes to this next stat, 47 walks. He has 78 strikeouts, but this is like Josh Donaldson power, you know, pick your poison here. 17 dingers for the guy, batting 316 OPS 1059. Thank you very much. He also is hitting for generic power, 29 doubles for the guy. This is a beast of a player.
And for all those guys that have never played baseball, his WRC plus is 183.
So there you go. Yeah, for the WRC leagues out there, just like over the leagues, the war leagues you were joking about, for those war leaguers out there, you're looking at Kobe Mayo.
This is the advanced metrics in the war leagues is what that is.
He was, yeah, Mayo was a fourth rounder in that year, for like in 2020.
I mean,
in the weird draft
for me, like Robbie, and I've talked about this a lot, you know, anything that Mike Elias touches in the draft, I'm watching, right? Like, I just have so much faith. Like, he built Houston. Everyone else took credit for it, but he built Houston. He's building Baltimore. Like, the guy clearly knows what he's doing and his team around him. Like, kudos to them. Being a Baltimore fan is going to be fun again. And you know, they just have to open that checkbook and sign some pitching, and they're going to be great. So, this is just another one in that list. So, they've got lots there. But I'm excited about third base. I'm less excited about outfield, Robbie, but I know there's outfielders coming. I know there's some coming that we're going to get excited about. There's some studs coming instead of just guys that are supposed to be good. But guys in the past that I'm ready to move on from, Michael Brantley has plateaued in his recovery, whatever the hell that means. Like, the guy has never peaked in his life as a Major League Baseball player. He's only ever been plateaued. He's only ever been plateaued.
Like, Brantley has been a fantasy darling a few times. The problem is, like, the consistent times he's injured, right? That's Brantley's thing.
But his consistent is, I get hits, I get hits, I get hits, I get hits. I do nothing else except get injured. Like, that's it. He's only ever been plateaued. Like,
You're talking with a hatred towards him like I have for Wade Miley. And I love it. Killed
multiple fantasy leagues for me over many years. Anyway, point is, move on. Anthony Santander, I don't have necessarily a problem with Santander. The issue here is there's just better guys coming. And his spots and his at-bats are gone. So I'm ready to move on from him. I'm concerned that 2 years on the bench in Baltimore, which is what he's going to be, is going to hurt his long term of his career, because the one thing that makes him really difficult to be a bench bat, and I will change my position here if he gets traded this season or in the offseason, which is very possible. Being a switch hitter off the bench is a very difficult thing, because you have to practice your at bats from both sides, get real game action. And so not getting regular at bats, and you know, you talk about Moncada earlier, like, these are things that people don't think about, right? Like, if you're a switch hitter, you're already splitting your plate appearances that way, and now you're getting less of those plate appearances. So this is a guy that I feel for a little bit, because I was in his camp for a long time. I don't like his scenario right now. I really, really dislike it for his future. And that's not great, but it is what it is. So I'm moving on there. The last guy in the past here is Cody Bellinger. We talked about him being a great buy, cheap offseason. That has worked out okay, I think, Robbie. Like, not great, not good, not bad.
Great start to the year for him.
Yeah. I think we're also entering a window of time here for Cody Bellinger. Like, this was his pillow contract, and it put it bluntly, it's not good enough. What are your thoughts here?
He's actually had a very similar season to a rookie that basically replaced him with the Dodgers in James Outman, where they came out hot and have since stopped hitting for power. In the last month, Bellinger in 52 at-bats, which is not a normal full month of play, has zero dingers, although the average looks good. So 288. So if you are in a 5x5 league, you're kind of awakening to this fact, if you're listening to this, that in the last month, he's had only 7 runs and 4 RBIs. Mind you, today he had 2 runs and an RBI. So now you're looking at 9 and 5. Again, this is not what you want out of what's supposed to be a key bat, a big dynasty guy that you've been waiting on, right? You've been waiting on, and it looked good in April. It was okay in May. You know, you got through June, but when you look back now into July, you're like, oh, wait, I got nothing in June. I'm not getting much. I'm getting average, but I'm not getting regular playing time. Yep. And that's where the Bellinger struggle comes in, because he just hasn't had the power. And 10 stolen bases on the year looks amazing. But again, Ty, 1 in the last month.
Yeah.
So we had a hot start, like I said, about James Outman, and then it's cooled off. The difference between Bellinger and Outman is Bellinger is supposed to be somebody real good and he's supposed to be a long-term guy, and Outman was just like replacing him on the roster, not even a full-time player essentially, but you're getting similar production from two guys. So again, you let Bellinger go. If you have him, you look to make a deal, because again, you could fool somebody depending on your league setup. You know, the average is going to be worth something to somebody. But yeah, I agree with you on Santander. Watched that game I mentioned earlier with the Reds and Baltimore, and it was really neat to see Santander was playing first base, which I had to check while you were discussing him. Five times this year he's played first base, so not enough to yet get eligibility on every. Well, I mean, obviously Yahoo he got it, but not on any of the more legit sites, because it has to be typically 10 appearances. But Bellinger's first base and outfield eligible as well. I don't know that you're going to get a whole lot of different production from the two rest of season. But you know, you're not going to pay as much for Santander as you are for Bellinger. So if you want to be a little cheeky with it, you could go with your Bellinger and find the team that has him and Santander, make a trade, get yourself a decent prospect or two plus Santander in the trade. And by the end of the year, you might be just, you know, patting yourself on the back for making that move.
Yeah.
And the other guy with Baltimore that's not on this list, but I thought I'd bring it up just from that, watching that game and listening to the Baltimore broadcaster talk about how important he was Ramon Urias. They talked about him as like a leader within that club, which I did not realize he had that type of position with Baltimore. But again, they don't have a lot of older dudes, right? Cedric Mullins, I think, just came back that first game that I watched, but he's one of those guys. But again, it's a young team, right? So there are teams who don't want to get rid of guys. Santander might be one of those guys too, Ty. So they might be happy to have him sit on the bench. Not good for us in fantasy, which again is why we're letting him go to the past. But talk about the present, Ty.
I mean, the present here. Beast. Yeah, the present here is obviously beefy. You know, I'm going to start with the greatest hits here. You got Acuna, Betts, Soto, Randy Arozarena. Those are the guys that I think are near the top of the food chain. Acuna obviously having an incredible season, a little bit of an injury scare last night, which I know, Robbie, you could have damaged some of your teams pretty good, but all good. I mean, he's on pace to potentially hit like a 50-80 season, Robbie. Like, that's not out of the realm. Like, it's insane.
Two for four tonight with another stolen base.
Yeah, like it's really, really good. I'm backpedaling on that one. I definitely thought stolen bases were going to be in the past. Like, good for him and Atlanta for powering through those knee injuries. Like, I still have this concern, Robbie. Like, there's a lot of medical history around damage to the other knee over the long haul, so I still have concerns with him risk wise but, you know, hard to ignore just how much better he is than the alternatives on the stat line. So that's it. The other two guys I have on this list, Tatis, who everyone loves to hate, which, cool, great, who cares. He's missed half the season, and he's still in the, you know, he's like eighth or whatever in home runs in the National League. Like, you know, he's just that good, and he's still not firing on all cylinders, right? Like, it's just not there. That whole San Diego team is just whatever.
They're off.
You know, Juan Soto, you know, had a slow start, has recovered, and has been pretty good over the last little bit here. The last guy on this list, Robbie, you know, you and I talked about this at the Surf Draft. Luis Robert is a guy that, you know, definitely was underestimated heading into this season. You know, was a top 10 pick in a lot of leagues over the last couple years, and everyone rolled back on him this year. And, you know, I sat there and said, like, that was my entire surf strategy. We talked about it. Like, my entire thing was buying guys that everyone gave up on, and Albies, Robert, others. You know, somehow I'm not winning in these leagues.
I was going to say, we don't want to get to be bragging about how surf worked for either of us, since we're both sitting in the bottom, and I don't know what in the hell I can do with
slowly climbing slowly, because I'm near the top of RBIs, and I'm climbing very quickly in home runs, yet somehow I'm dead last in runs. Doesn't make any sense. but that's kind of been the luck of my season. It'll turn around. I do think I'm going to be one of the teams that moves up. I'm too far back, I think, to catch the leaders, but I do think I'm going to move to the middle at least by the end of the season. And I've not touched it. I've not even picked anybody up, because every time I pick somebody off of waivers, they go immediately onto the IL. So I'm just going to not pick people up. That's just where I'm at. We'll see how it goes.
At least you're not bitter about it.
Yeah, it's 2 years in a row. Like, last year, my entire pitching got decimated. So I really don't know how to make it through this without, I tried a different fab strategy this year. Whatever. It is what it is. But Luis Robert has been a bright spot. He's been very, very good over the last month and change. So I expect that to continue. 40 bombs is in, is very much in the trajectory. He hit a 3-run home run tonight for his 25th of the year. So he's very much on pace for 40, which I think would shock everybody, given the preseason analysis. So I've talked about the past. I've talked about the present, Robbie. I'll give you the future.
Sure. Sorry, I'm just looking at my surf league and I'm getting depressed. I've got Bryce Harper on my bench in that league. I've got Alex Bregman on my bench in that league. I still, for some reason, because it's fab, you can't just drop a player. I have Logan Allen, who was sent down, you know, 2 weeks ago. I haven't been able to claim through the fab a pitcher for him. And I put Otani as my utility, because you can't not when he's so damn good. But that's why I had to bench Harper, because Harper's not an outfielder. It's embarrassing to look at my lineup. Like, it is so bad. I got David Hamilton with Boston, who I picked up just to get some stolen bases. He got the first two games he was in, and that's it. Nothing. Anyway, I got to stop looking. The future for outfield. Okay, we're heavy on the Baltimore tonight, but I guess that's what happens when you suck for so long that you just accumulate the assets, right? We've got Colton Cowser. We've got Heston Kjerstad. We've got Riley Green with Detroit. We've got currently up. And although he hasn't, I'm going to check and see how good he's been the last 2 weeks. Although he hasn't been murdering it, he came out of the gate so strong. I think he's actually going to stick around this time in Colorado outfielder Nolan Jones. We've got Will Benson, who is riding. It's not even a heater tie. He's just riding the consistency train in Cincinnati. It's like he should be the next guy sent back down with, you know, better health coming up. But why would you send somebody down who's now become like a legitimate all category contributor for you? And then we've got lesser known, but starting to get noticed, Gabriel Gonzalez with Seattle. And Gabriel Gonzalez, I think he is hitting 700 at high A right now. Maybe I'm off by 400, but he is doing so damn well. And Seattle has this, you know, J2 history, you know, Julio amongst others having great draft classes. Novelli Marte is another name. They doubled last year. I think, no, was it 2 years ago? They drafted an Arroyo and then signed an Arroyo, and they've traded the Arroyo that they had drafted to the Reds, who we mentioned earlier tonight.
It's too much.
They've been doing so well. I mean, it's DePoto, baby. It's DePoto. But Will Benson, sorry, I want to check Nolan Jones first here.
I got it here for you. I'm ready to rock. Okay. He's got an OPS in the 926 range. He's hitting 315. He's got 5 bombs, so he's on pace for 30 home run season.
Right? What's like, he been doing the last like two weeks to a month? If you've got that up, like Yahoo,
been good. Like I've got him on a couple rosters, Robbie. He's been strong. Maybe not elite, but definitely strong. I don't know if I can summarize these totals. I can't. Hold on 2 seconds.
Sure. I'll give you the Will Benson news here, because Will Benson's the guy who like sucked when he came out this year, sucked last year. And then it took a while before he hit his first dinger, which was the one you talked about, Tyler, which was the walk-off. Yeah. Since then, he's had 3 dingers. He's batting 282 on the year. But because of that crappy start, really, he's been 359 average, 1055 OPS. He's stealing bases. The RBIs are lower because he's further back in the lineup, but the runs are strong because he's on base and coming around. He's got 14 runs to 7 RBIs. He's just getting it done, damn it. And if you are in a league where you thought he was on the waiver wire, he's gone, baby. He's gone. Even in Yahoo, he's up to 9%. And we know no one in Yahoo is truly paying attention to this type of player, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Nolan Jones last month, I did June just as a sample, 322 batting average. You're going to love this, Robbie. 413 OBP, which is one of the hallmarks that he had in the Cleveland system.
Yeah.
That kind of dipped in the upper minors for them, and they're like, this guy sucks. Like, he's going to be an outfielder, therefore we don't want him because our outfield sucks all the time. And his slugging percentage, 522. So his OPS is north of his season average in the last month. You got to love it. The bat bip's a little high, but it always is in Colorado, right? So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
That's park factors.
But it's high even for Colorado at 463. So that's pretty meaty, but 4 bombs in that window, so he's hitting the ball hard. You know, I've always liked Nolan Jones. We've talked about him for a couple of years here, Robbie. I bought him in like every league because he was pennies on the dollar. And you know, luckily it worked out for me. So I always like these guys though. And you like these guys usually minus the power, you love the on-base guys because they drive your runs and your batting average usually. Yep.
You can trust in them more, Ty. I find I can trust in a guy who can take a walk. And Nolan Jones, in his first 20 at-bats this year, struck out 10 times, walked once, and then got sent down. Since he's been back, he's been so much more consistent. He's got that that K rate down, the walk rate back up. He's playing like it, because we talked about it earlier this year. We thought Nolan Jones was going to come out and be a legit stud. And then he had a terrible spring training. He got sent down. Then he did get a little tea sandwich when he came up. Then boom, sent back down. Never forget the tea sandwich. Never forget the tea sandwich. Came back up. Now it looks like he's here to stay. The Chris Bryant return should be a good thing, meaning that they get a regular lineup going, but they now have outfield surplus. And the last time I looked, which was a while ago, Nolan Jones had 9 games at first base, which for me in our one big money auction league, I am just waiting for that 10th start because that's when he's going to pick up first base eligibility and I can have him there. He's still at 9. He's been at left field 3 times, right field 19, and third base once. So the possibility exists that they could start to move him around with a healthy Colorado lineup. I can't imagine they're going to send him down. You don't want to send down somebody who's doing well, but what they have done is they've started to hide him against lefties more than before. So we might see him in more of that platoon, which again, that's fine, right? Like, let's see the best that he's got on his best side to start and then grow from there. So the only other guy I did want to make sure we just gave something to was Gabriel Gonzalez, because he's going to be one of those guys. What do you say? Like, not an out of nowhere, but he's going to be anointed one of those next up type guys. I think, oh, I spelled his name wrong. Let me figure out how to spell his name. And then say a stat line on him. If you've got anything on the rest of these guys.
Yeah, I've got Riley Green. I want to touch on again. I think there's a real opportunity to buy a guy at like Benintendi levels, right? Like, I think that's what a lot of people have tagged Riley Green at, Robbie. Like, this is a guy that banged a ton of homers in the minor leagues and just hasn't quite come through that window at the pro level. Like, there's a little bit of Ellie De La Cruz here, right? And I don't think, you know, it's the infield upside, right? Like, it's not that shortstop hype that we get, but there's a very similar player speed profile wise, contact profiles better. The strikeout rates are not as high. But I do think the home run totals aren't going to be as far apart as people think. I still think De La Cruz leads, but I don't know that it's going to be exponentially ahead. Like, I think a lot of people currently believe it to be. The reason I'm saying is I just think there's a huge opportunity to buy at a really low rate on Riley Green right now, especially while he's injured. And so if you're like, how do I get better this season for the foreseeable future? Like, Riley Green has to be on that list of targets just because it's a low rated asset right now. And anybody that holds him, it knows what they're doing. So the contact was there, the speed's there. And we saw it in the last little bit before he got hurt. Wasn't a really substantial injury. So I think he's going to bounce back, and that Detroit team is going to be dangerous. So I like that one a lot.
Okay. Finish off on the Gabriel Gonzalez at high A Modesto, or sorry, A ball Modesto, 275 at bats. He's got a 16% K rate. He's batting .346. His OBP is .395. OPS .908. 7 dingers, 8 stolen bases, been caught 0 times. Good baseball player right here. Like, I don't know what to tell you. 19 doubles. Like, this guy is splatting the ball hard. He's 10-165, which is interesting. It's not short, it's not tall, but at that weight, 165, you're fast, but you're not thin. You know, that was me graduating high school, and that was probably my physical peak. So Gabriel Gonzalez would be rocking and rolling as he's still just 19 year old right now. So I'm really liking him. I'm sure he's owned in your dynasty leagues, like the ones with the smart, you know, GMs in it, but it doesn't mean you can't go right now and do a moderate buy on him. Thinking about him as a future player within the outfield position.
Yeah, no, I love it. And honestly, I love the format for this episode. I think it's something that we should do more often. And if we miss something or you don't like any of these takes or you got questions about anybody, make sure you hit us at Dingers Pod on the Twitter machine. But it's a great spot to leave it, Robbie. Until next time, it's been Tyler and Rob here on Dingers.